Lord, we want to thank you with all our hearts for your word. We want to thank you for its purity. We want to thank you for its power. And we want to thank you that under the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, you are able to use it to instruct us, that we may be complete, fully equipped to every good work. And Lord, we commit ourselves to you, to your enabling, that you would this morning take the reading of your word and the preaching of it and open all our ears and open all our hearts to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Amen. Two short readings from the New Testament. The first is from Hebrews chapter 11, and we'll read from verse 32. The end of the chapter. What more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Some were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they died by the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins, in goatskins, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. All these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, so that they would not be made perfect without us. And then the second reading, please keep your finger in Hebrews 11. We'll be referring to that a bit later. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read from verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of languages, to another the interpretation of languages. But all these works that one and that selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For those of you who are visitors or haven't been with us for a few weeks, we have been looking at the gifts of the Spirit, or as it says in verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit. There are nine ways in which the Holy Spirit can manifest himself, given in these verses. We have sought to give them to you. There are three groups of three. Three gifts of speech, which is tongues or languages, the interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Three gifts of revelation, wisdom, word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. And we're looking today, we're continuing to look at the gifts of power. And 2 weeks ago, we heard Mike speaking about the working of miracles. Next week, God willing, we will conclude with the gifts of healings. But today, we're looking at the gift of faith, which is one of those power gifts. A gift of working of miracles, just to make a distinction between the working of miracles and the gift of faith. The gift of the working of miracles is a supernatural act on a natural plane where God breaks into the natural order of things. But the working of miracles therefore excludes, by definition, gifts of healings, which is a specific act of power on the human body. It also excludes any other gifts of the Holy Spirit, although in a sense all these nine are miraculous. And the working of miracles excludes those acts of power which are particularly governed and covered by this gift of faith. So we need to ask, really, what does the Bible mean when it uses the word faith? And in what sense is the gift of faith a particular application of this word? And this is what we're going to be looking at this morning. The Bible uses the word faith in a few different ways. It uses the word faith in Galatians 5, at least in the Authorized Version, as one of the fruit of the Spirit. Faith and faithfulness are inseparable. The word for faith in the Greek and the word for faithfulness are the same. And in Galatians chapter 5, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. It means a dependability, a reliance on God. The Bible also speaks about that faith which saves. This is what Ephesians 2 talks about. By faith, by grace you are saved through faith. And that is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To become a Christian, we need to have that saving faith. It is, as the Bible says, not of works. Becoming a Christian, being accepted by God, is not a question of us trying to impress God with our good behaviour, or earning brownie points with him, or gain acceptance with him in any other way other than through our trust in, our faith in, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished for us, as Mike was explaining as we were breaking bread together a few moments ago. This is saving faith. Without this faith, there is no salvation. It's not of works, but it is the gift of God. In Jude verse 3, we are told to earnestly contend for the faith. And I think there, faith really means more the body of doctrine that we are given. There is a natural faith. Granted, all right, you are exercising natural faith, every one of you, by the fact that you're sitting on these chairs in the hope that they won't collapse. There are laws of gravity. This is not faith in that sense. I would say it's the word, it's belief, and I think there's a difference. In this sense, the devils believe in God. They believe he exists. If you believe in God, so what? In one sense. The devils believe and they tremble. But faith is something more than that. But when the Bible talks about general faith, he talks about it in a number of ways. Here are some of them. Galatians 2 verse 20 says that we are to live by faith. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Would you notice there again, please, faith is a gift from God. It is not something that I naturally can work up. But we're told to live by faith. three times in the scriptures, two in the New Testament, one in the Old. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4 says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by his faith, actually, there. This is the way that we are to live. It is through faith that we become spiritually alive in the first instance, as we've explained from Ephesians chapter 2. But we're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to be established in the faith. We're to stand fast in the faith. We're to pray in accordance with faith. Everything is to be in accordance with faith. So the question, therefore, is, in what sense, therefore, is 1 Corinthians 12, when it talks about the gift of faith, different? It is different because in 1 Corinthians 12, it is one of a number of ways in which the Holy Spirit can manifest himself. If the kind of ways we've been talking about faith is only given as the Holy Spirit wills on certain occasions at certain particular times, as the other manifestation of the Spirit is, then that puts us all in a bit of a tricky spot. We are all called to walk by faith. We're all called to live by faith. So what is this gift of faith then? Well, let me give you something of a definition. This gift of faith in 1 Corinthians 12 is a power from God, an endowment of power from God, so that what is spoken or what is desired by man or God shall happen. It is different from the working of miracles in that the gift of faith trusts for miracles. The working of miracles works the miracles. The gift of faith receives things from God. The working of miracles does things by the Holy Spirit. The gift of faith appears to be passive. The working of miracles is active and sometimes not always observable. If the working of miracles is the power to deliver, the gift of faith is a supernatural power from God to be able to keep us and to protect us. Let me give you some examples which I hope will clarify things. Five of them. We may have time to do them all. We'll see. Some examples. The gift of faith is given in order to protect and deliver. We read it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 33. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions. Daniel was in the lion's den. It was through a gift of faith that he held fast in that lion's den and that the lions didn't touch him. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego went through the fire. The Lord protected them. It was through a particular faith that God gave them that they were able to say, even if, O King, God does not deliver us, we will not bow down. And a fourth appeared in the fire with them, like the Son of God. Marvellous. The Lord went with them in that fire. Maybe another example. It's not always easy to define these, but I hope that by giving some examples you can get the general application of these. In Acts 27 we read of a storm that blew up. And there would have been loss of life for every single person on board ship had not the Apostle Paul sought the Lord and prayed and received revelation from God and the assurance from God that God was going to give him the lives of everyone in that storm, in that ship rather. And there came a point, you know, where he said, friends, you should have listened to me in the first place. God has spoken to me. This is what's going to happen. Now, have some food. You've all been without food. Have some food. I don't know. I think that takes quite a bit of faith. You're about to lose your life. There's a storm raging around you. Because of the pressures that are on you for the last few days, you haven't eaten a thing. And here's this seeming nutcase standing up and saying, you'll be all right. Have some food. Friends, it needs faith for Paul to do that. I think that's different, or at least can you grab see the difference between that and what happened to the disciples in the storm that they went through when the Lord Jesus was with them asleep on the boat. If what had happened was that actually the Lord had carried them through that storm and they had trusted him in that, that would have been a gift of faith. Actually, what happened was a miracle. And I'm not trying to disparage the latter at all, but trying to get you to see the difference. With the disciples in the boat, the miracle was that the Lord Jesus calmed the wind and the waves and the storm. But in Acts 27, the Lord enabled Paul to go right through it and everybody with him and to come out the other side. Another example in Mark 16 says these signs shall follow those who believe. What do those signs include? If they drink anything, it will not hurt them. If they are, they shall be able to take a snake, take out a serpent, and it will not bite them. At least if they are, it won't harm them. And sadly, that's been utterly misapplied and mistreated by some Pentecostal denominations. But it happened in the case of the Apostle Paul. He was on the island and out of the fire came a snake and latched onto him and he shook it off And they're all expecting him to fall down dead, and nothing happened. Friends, these signs shall follow them that believe. He didn't go looking for snakes to take up. But when one came out at him and bit him, he was fine. It was through that gift of faith. A second example, the gift of faith is for the removing of obstacles. Just have a look at Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And the context of this statement is the Lord Jesus rebuking a demonic spirit and commanding him to come out of that person. What an obstacle where we're faced with demonic powers. But the Lord is saying, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it just needs a little bit, a tiny bit of divine faith, and you can be able to say to that demonic power, go, and it will go. That's what happened here for the Lord Jesus. But I think there's a general application too. Some of you may in the future, maybe even now, face humanly impossible situations. There are mountains that you will have to face and need to be got rid of. Faith is the gift from God. As you seek the Lord for the removal of that mountain, the Lord can give you that faith, and you can tell that mountain to go. You can tell that obstacle to go. Thirdly, to raise the dead when only the spoken word is used. There are some times in the scriptures, both in the Old Testament in particular, when it's not just through the spoken word, but when it's just through the spoken word. For example, in Acts chapter 9 and verse 40 with Dorcas, where, let me read it. Where Peter, having put them all outside, knelt down and prayed. So it wasn't an automatic thing. He prayed and he heard from the Lord. And let's remember, friends, faith, whatever kind of faith, always hears from God. Faith comes by hearing, and that from the word of God. So Peter prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha. Her name was Dorcas elsewhere. Arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Friends, that's a gift of faith. To be able to say to a dead body, get up. And it didn't just happen then. It's happened throughout church history as well. Various occasions where the Lord has given faith and people have been raised from the dead. John chapter 11. I read one account of this like this, and I think there's truth in this. If you think of the story of Lazarus, maybe this will help to give you some definitions or some clarification. If you think of what happened with Lazarus, the Lord Jesus commanded him to come forth out of the tomb. Lazarus came forth bound. I would suggest to you, if what I read was correct, and I believe it is, we see the three power miracles, three power gifts working together here. The fact that the Lord said to Lazarus, come forth, needed a gift of faith, just with his word alone, commanding Lazarus to come out. The fact that Lazarus, who had died, came out bound is a miracle. You can't walk if you're bound with grave clothes. And the fact that he came out healed of the disease from which he died was a gift of healing. Marvellous. Fourth example, the gift of faith is used to receive the promises of God. Just look at verse 11 in Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, even Sarah herself, when she was barren, received power to conceive offspring. Friends, it's impossible for an old couple to produce a child. And yet God did it. Through faith, Sarah received power to conceive. And we read from Romans chapter 4 that Abraham, as he gave glory to God, he was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. Friends, God is able to do the miraculous in your life. If he has promised you something, you can receive the gift of faith so that from your impotence, from your inability, the Lord can produce something. Be encouraged. The gift of faith is used, 1 Kings 19 verse 8, to receive God's sustenance and provision. That is slightly different from the miracle, the working of miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. There, the Lord Jesus multiplied the bread and gave it to them all. But in 1 Kings 19 verse 8, God supernaturally provided for his servant. And then, finally, here, final example, the gift of faith is used to bring blessing, or to bring a cursing even, or to bring a decree. Sometimes it's not always easy to define whether it's a gift of faith that's used, or a word of knowledge, or a miracle of power. But the Lord can give a word. So here in Matthew, in Hebrews 11, we read that by faith Isaac blessed, by faith Jacob blessed. They received maybe a word of knowledge as to what was going to happen to the whole of the Jewish race subsequent to their departure. But the fact that they spoke it out, I would suggest to you, is a miracle of faith. And there are many other examples as well. The Lord Jesus, Matthew 17, verse 27. Extraordinary little story. He said, "Lest we should offend them, go to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the fish that first comes up. And when you've opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take it and give it to them." Did the Lord Jesus know that there was going to be a coin in the fish's mouth? Possibly. Did he put it there? Possibly. Possibly both. But the fact that he spoke it here and he knew what was going on, I would suggest to you, includes this miracle of the gift of faith. There are plenty of other examples as well. Well, friends, let's finish by looking at Hebrews chapter 11, the reading that we had. Hebrews chapter 11, I personally think, includes examples of general faith, what I call general faith, as well as some specific examples of the gift of faith. And we're just going to touch on a few things as we finish this morning from Hebrews chapter 11. So, verse 32, the encouraging thing for me, I trust for you, is as we read this, time, what more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about. And I wonder what made the writer to the Hebrews put the various people here. It's not on a list I would immediately want to add Samson to, for example. Or one or two others, but they are, all of them, flawed characters in some way. And so, friends, the encouragement is that actually your name can be here. You can be somebody that God can give a gift of faith to. Gideon, out of weakness, was made strong. We read a few verses later on. He was an example of such a man. You may be going through something in abject weakness. God can give you the faith to make you strong to go through something. Barak. He was the one in Judges 4, Judges 5. Wouldn't go out to battle unless Deborah was with him. Where's your trust? Friends, the Lord can give you the faith so that you can go out to battle, as it were, face a humanly impossible situation, and the Lord can give you the victory. Samson, well, we've talked about him, mentioned him. Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Friends, just look at what these folk did. Obtained promises, Abraham. Stopped the mouths of lions, Daniel, we've talked about him. quench the violence of fire. The Lord can be with you as you go through whatever fire you need to go through. The Lord allows you to go through. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, all through faith. And if the reading was to stop there, we'd think, well, that's great. But it goes on. Now, what a difference in the application of faith. You need the gift of faith to do all those things that we've just read. But you also need the gift of faith to go through torture. How did the likes of Richard Wurmbrand in communist China, in communist Russia, all those years ago, how did he and many others like him face prison and torture? How did they get through it? Were they super spiritual? Were they super duper Christians? Possibly. But I know that the Lord gave them faith. Not accepting deliverance. Friends, how are you and I going to go through difficulties? Last week we heard from Jacob Prash, and I wouldn't disagree with this analysis of the political situation at all, that the Lord has given us a respite. Whether or not we have persecution or the level of it, the extent of it after that, we shall see. But friends, I do know some of you may have been listening to that and thinking, I don't know I can get through this. You know, life's so depressing. It's really hard to be a Christian, you might be thinking. I can't do it. The good news is, friends, through the gift of faith, you can do it. Through the gift of faith, whatever the Lord allows to come upon us as the church in the country, whatever the Lord allows to come upon you as an individual, the Lord can get you through it. You do not need to resist the deliverance. You can have the torture and you can accept it and go through it. Sorry, I didn't explain that very well, but you know what I'm saying. Why? Because you want to obtain a better resurrection. It goes on. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Last week, shortly, I think it was the day after, we had the message from Jacob Prash and on Levin. The next day, I was in my reading going through Luke chapter 14, which starts off, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." And I read the whole chapter, and as I went through it, I thought, this is so relevant. Because actually, what the Lord is outlining is how we're to go through the difficulties. So shortly after that, he then says, if the Lord allows you to go to come before rulers, authorities for my name's sake, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Lord will give you the word. Now, isn't that an encouragement? How are we going to face those things? It'll be through the gift of faith. Now, friends, that's please not to in any way to let you off the hook now. To let us off the hook now. We need to learn to live by faith now. We need to learn to hear from the Lord in the circumstances of life which we go through now. And where that means that we need to stand for righteousness and to speak out for the Lord, we need to be willing to do that, of course. But what I am saying is, don't worry about the cataclysmic, critical situation where you feel you're going to be up before judges and rulers, etc., and you're going to think, how am I going to cope? At that time, God will give you the faith to cope. It's all part of the faith. It's through faith that we can endure trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Maybe some of you in your workplace are having to cope with that kind of ridicule. The Lord can enable you to do it. Moreover, bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Isaiah met his end, if Jewish tradition is to be believed, in that way. He was put into a tree trunk, which was hollowed out, and then the tree was sawn in two. Others were tempted. Others were tested. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin. I mean, imagine John the Baptist. How are you and I going to wander about? I mean, supposing we have to do what Elijah did and flee for our lives. And we don't know where the next meal is going to come from. Heard only last year, I think it was, of an Indian brother who, well, the Lord just provided for him food through a raven. Extraordinary. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. And do you know what it then says? The world was not worthy of them. Friends, this is marvellous, isn't it? The world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens and caves. And they did all that through faith. So my friends, I don't know which of these areas things applies to you now, which is just the Lord is just flagging up for some time in the future. But the Lord can protect you. The Lord can deliver you. The Lord can remove obstacles. The Lord can enable you to receive promises. The Lord can provide for you. And the Lord can use you, even to decree something of the will and the purpose of God. This is not the same as what passes for the word of faith movement. That's not the same thing. Name it and claim it is not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the faith that God gives you, that assurance of things not seen, so that you can then speak certain things and know that God will be with you and fulfill those things. It happened, for example, at a men's day of prayer that we had shortly before the Brexit vote. And the Lord gave a decree on that occasion for the removal of Cameron and Osborne. And it happened. Now, please, this didn't happen to the person who was decreeing those things just because he rather fancied it or because he thought it would be a good idea for a change. But God gave the faith for it. That's all I'm saying. It's a wonderful gift. Reach out to God for it. Let's pray, please.